Oh my
No,
God.
no. Well, that's a brilliant joke. Come on, that is funny.
It's a funny joke, but it's the only one that can't really stay in the podcast. And welcome to episode 87 of the Pocket Gamer podcast. I am Ben Maxwell, and I am yet again inflicting my hosting skills on you. With me is the amazing Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
The astonishing Will Wilson.
Hello.
And the incredible.
Wait, is this going to be bad?
I just said incredibly handsome, but you spoke over me, so technically it's lost. So the other one, I think he's called Alex Rennie or Rene, something.
Hello.
I don't know.
That's a rubbish intro. No.
Well, you ruined the good one, didn't you, Alex? But yeah, that's what you get. Well, I think everyone should say happy birthday to me. I'm now 29. I think this is surely the news piece we should lead with.
That's old.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
That was like yesterday's news.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, it's old news, or I'm old.
Normally Skype tells me when it's someone's birthday. Why did it not tell me?
I don't know. Skype can't be relied on.
Oh, fuck.
Well, it's been another exciting week, hasn't it? Apart from my birthday, there have been other things going on. I think we should just go straight into the news.
News!
So, first up. Let's get this out of the way first, because technically it's not really iPhone news, but the Nexus One, Google's handset, has been axed by Google. So we don't really think they're going to be producing another handset with their name on it. They obviously wanted it to push their Android platform, give it a kickstart, the Frankenstein treatment, and it's done very well. And of course, everyone said it wouldn't happen, but Android looks like it's going to take over and be the bigger platform. Personally, I can't see this happening. What do other people think? I just feel Apple always going to have the power to push harder.
Well, I think it's a it depends on the standards that you're looking at. Android is bigger. I think it's actually already bigger. I think the number of devices that are out there, It's either close or has already eclipsed the number of iOS devices.
Say it's going to eclipse it at Christmas, I think.
Okay. Something, it's very close. So by the sheer numbers, it will eclipse it. But in terms of seizing the high end market, Apple has a pretty good stronghold on grip on that. I think that's why they let Nexus One go. I mean, it's the same sort of thing when people were saying, when the first generation iPhone came out, like, oh, Nokia is done. Well, that's not true. You know, Nokia has a wide range of handsets. A lot of them are in the mid to low range, right? You have a lot of cheap Nokia handsets that are out there. The problem that Nokia had was that iPhone was taking away their high-end market. Their N series phones just couldn't compete. So I think if you look at it from in terms of whether or not Android can compete with iPhone on, you know, the high end market, probably not. I mean, some of the Android handsets are nice. They're very nice, but they just don't have the momentum on the high end like iPhone. But they're going to do, you know, I've been saying it for a few months now. I've been private talks with developers and publishers and stuff, you know, who have been kind of curious about Android, but kind of hesitant because they've been hearing a lot of the same talk. Oh, Android's just not going to compete. It's the new Java. It's going to be, it's essentially going to be ubiquitous. You know, it's going to be a platform on which, you know, kind of caters to a more mainstream mass market audience. So you might be able to make some money just on the numbers, but you can't necessarily release, you know, looking at it from a game perspective, you can't necessarily release something like Nova, you know, a first-person shooter or a hardcore title, and hope that it'll sell. That's going to be stuff that'll work much better on iPhone.
Well, and that's another audience. Side of it as well, is that now that we've kind of entered this, I mean, obviously we've been in it for a while, but this era of phones that have app stores and programs that you pay for and are attached to an account, which is only accessible via the platform you've chosen, it makes it a lot harder to switch over. You know, I could transfer the games I have if I get an iPhone 4, but if I was to get a Nexus 1 or anything else, I lose everything, and I have to start again.
You probably won't have half the games that you have on your iPhone on the Android platform, though. There's quite a few replications come across, but they aren't. It's not exactly packed with iPhone games.
Which is why it seems to me that it's becoming a lot harder for any platform owner, you know, a designer to steal market share from anyone else. It seems more that you have to sell to the undecided, because once you outside of any fanboyism, it is just genuinely a difficult move to make if you're ensconced in one thing. This is my second iPhone. I built up quite a collection of games. Even if the Nexus One or whatever future, if there's the phone that was released on the Android platform in the future that just absolutely destroyed the iPhone, I think I would probably still go with the inferior handset just for convenience. So after last week's treatise discussion on Amiga ports, we now have Sega pouring their talent into the iPhone. Yet another reason not to head off to an Android phone. So what have we got? We've got Echo the Dolphin, Sonic, obviously, is already
Space
on,
Harrier
isn't it?
2.
Yeah.
Space Harrier 2, Golden Axe, and a virtual...
Sonic 2 is on there, too.
And of course, the representation of the controller as well. Though I'm still not sure what I think about virtual controls. Sorry, if you my phone's going off in the background. I apologize for that. It's probably my.
I thought that was my phone. God, that was confusing.
So you really thought the phone in my room was the one in yours? Down
yes,
Skype.
I've got a headset on, and it's the same ring as my house phone.
That's an advert for Skype, isn't it? If ever there was one. So clear, you'll feel like you're in other people's rooms.
He is in the room next to you, though.
He's at the other end of the table.
Under the bed. Naked.
But this is good news. Echo the Dolphin is amazing. I guess this also ties in with that not wanting to move platforms. If we're getting games on the iPhone that, unless you have a retro collection of consoles, or you've reinvested on the later consoles and some of the online stores, you're starting to be able to reaccess the classics.
Some of them aren't so classic once you play them on iPhone.
Yeah, that's the problem. Well, that's interesting. So tell us what you mean there, Tracy.
Well, particularly Sega hasn't done the best job porting their legacy titles to iPhone. The controls, the virtual controls, just aren't very good. I think it's particular, and honestly, some of these re-releases are spendy. Mm-hmm. You know, $5 for Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, it's a good game, but $5 for a game that's been out for like 20 years, combined with the fact that it's, you know, not a good port. It's not a good re-release.
So is that because of the controls?
The controls, and it didn't perform very well. I think it's been updated. It's been a while since I played the first Sonic the Hedgehog.
I played it about 2 months ago, and it was still getting frame rate issues on the second gen touch. Yeah.
I know it. I remember reviewing it. I remember one of the devices it actually performs okay on. It's not, the frame rate isn't an issue. But I do remember the majority of devices, it was really stuttering along. The controls just aren't very precise. You know, there are certain games, certain platformers do work on iPhone, others don't. And anything that's really speedy, that requires a lot of quick reactions, just, you know, like Sonic, where you have to have a directional pad and things are moving really fast, it just doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's Sonic 4 is coming out, and I played that at E3, and that doesn't feel right even. And then that's a game that's essentially being built, you know, it's a new game, so you can't even say, you know, because I can kind of buy the argument, like, look, it's a port, it's, of course it's not gonna feel right, you know.
Yeah, it's I think the porting something to a platform that is doing so well is a very attractive proposition, isn't it? And putting the work in to make sure that it does work isn't necessarily that attractive if you're sure you can gain sales just on a name. Not that I'm accusing Sega of doing that, but you could argue perhaps that the Swift ports, with all the problems you've just described, it could be easy to just throw them over.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting to note that these games, Echo the Dolphin, Space Harrier 2, Sonic 2, were all supposed to be released as in-app purchases in a Genesis emulator.
Mm-hmm.
I played it. They sent me an ad hoc build. This was January or February. And they said, oh, yeah, we're going to release Ultimate Sonic Genesis. I can't remember what the name was. Sonic Sega Genesis Ultimate Collection. I think that was what it was. And it came with Space Harrier. It was a free download. You got Space Harrier for free. And then you could download the two Sonic games, Echo the Dolphin, Golden Axe, from within the app. And it's a great idea, because then it's essentially a self-contained, it feels like, you know, self-contained console with on your phone. But for some reason, they totally axed it. And so now they decided that they're just going to release these things individually. I imagine it probably has something to do, they've probably done some research on it and discovered that the way the numbers for in-app purchasing are just not feasible. Like, they would get more downloads if they just released them as individual games. That, individual
it makes sense, doesn't it? Because then you've got additional representations on the App Store as well. So you're advertising directly on the App Store rather than someone having to just buy this app and then see the products that are available. You're getting a lot more exposure that way.
Wasn't the first news of that happening, actually? Didn't the rumor miner come up from his... Where does he live? In a hovel, wasn't it? Didn't he tell you about that back
Rumor
in March?
Rumor miner lives in a mine, in a coal mine.
He doesn't live there all the time, though, does he?
He doesn't have to live there. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. He's going to get the black lung.
And he's naked. I think we were in like...
I've seen him naked.
Didn't we out him as the rumor miner?
Hasn't he been outed many weeks, you know, over and over?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, specifically that time as the rumor miner.
The naked, outed rumor miner.
And he's Scottish.
And he's Scottish.
Well, we'll leave you, listeners, to decide which of those is the bigger crime.
You know, I might make this more mysterious by actually masking the name when I come to exit. Yeah.
It's like Stig. So,
yeah.
He could have been our Stig. Oh, well. Okay. Well, another publisher that has expensive games and one of Sega's competitors is Capcom. However, they're currently having a sale due to the Comic-Con, which is going on. I think it's on until the 25th. So what have we got in that sale? Street Fighter 4 is down from... What was it before? It was $5.99, wasn't it? Street Fighter 4. Yeah. Or maybe...
Yeah, £5.99, $9.99 USD.
And now it's down to $3.99 in pounds and $6.99 USD. Resident Evil Degeneration. Yeah, that's really good. Phoenix Wright, 1942 Joint Strike, Ghosts and Goblins, Gold Knights, Mega Man 2, Dark Void Zero, and Resident Evil 4 iPad Edition, which is rubbish, isn't it, Tracy?
Pretty much everything on that list except for Street Fighter and Dark Void Zero. Buy Dark Void Zero. It's a good deal at 99 cents. And how much was Street Fighter again?
$3.99. Well, $6.99 for you. Let's take the opportunity to publicize an actual developer rather than the publisher. I believe you have something to tell us about Luc Bernard.
Yes, you guys remember him. He has done a few games on iPhone and iPod Touch. He's also done, I think, DSiWare games. But the ones that he has developed that have been really good, Mecha Wars, which is an Advanced Wars style tactics game.
Yeah, I need to check that one out.
Good game. Oh, definitely download it. And they actually updated it a couple months ago, and it now has online play and open feint support. It's a great little game. And he just released another game recently. It's kind of a side-scrolling RPG action game. Oh gosh, the name is evading me. Oh, how embarrassing. Steam Pirates. That's what it is. Well, he's working. I had a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I'm not so enthused with the sales numbers on iPhone. I'm going to start doing some PSP stuff. And he started developing this game called Reaper, which is this kind of side-scrolling action game for PSP. And I can announce today exclusively on the podcast that Reaper is coming to iPad. So it's only coming to iPad, no iPhone version.
Oh, right, okay.
You should edit in some kind of fanfare there, Will.
Yeah, I'll look for a fanfare.
Let's move on, though, to another of my great points. Actually, this is one of yours, Will. Gameloft, the... how do I put this politely?
They like to
capitalize on other people's success.
They make very professional games that are loosely based on other franchises.
Loosely based, yes, of course. Well, they are releasing God of Sparta. Hero of War. Hero of Sparta 2 is set for release July the 29th, in which you play brilliantly Argos, which is a Greek name that I think has lost some of its cachet.
It's not quite as
in England.
It's not quite as powerful anymore.
Tracy, do you know Argos, the store chain Argos?
Oh no, what is it?
It's a catalog order store synonymous with chavs and golden clown jewelry. Yeah, it's quite good if you're some cheap earphones or a dictaphone. I got my dictaphone.
I used to really love it back in my day because you could get loads of board games on there
the toy section is amazing.
The toys are really good, and it would be really exciting because they'd come down the conveyor belt.
Yes, yeah, but I have to say none of the staff really look like Greek Adonai. So maybe they shouldn't have gone with Argos. Kratos somehow just feels a bit harder. Not that Kratos has anything to do with their plans, of course.
I had quickly before we move on for Gameloft. When I was over at their headquarters in November, it was the first time over there, and they were showing GT Racing Motor Academy, and there were a couple of the producers sitting around the table, and I said, you know, this sounds a lot, you know, forgive me, but this seems very similar to other racing games that have appeared on console before. How much are you looking at Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport in these titles? And the response I thought was very interesting. They're fully aware that we're looking at these games and saying, this is totally a knockoff of, you know, this game or that game. But I liked his response, and he said, the producer says, you know, if we didn't look at these games, if we didn't take good elements from Gran Turismo and Forza Motorsport and build on that, all of our fans would be knocking us for not doing that. They'd say, why didn't you take the examples of all the good stuff in Gran Turismo and in Forza and put them in your game? So I feel like it's a bit, you know, it's a lose-lose situation for them in the sense that if they do borrow the good stuff, they get knocked for it. But then if they don't borrow it and their games suffer in quality as a result, they'll get knocked for that too.
I think that's a great point.
It's a bit of, so I just want, you know, we've been harping on them for quite a while now, and I think we should put a little bit more tongue in our cheek when we do that, because, you know, yes, Nova is a lot like Halo. Yes, Let's Golf is a lot like Mina no Golf, but, you know, they're good games. You know, and everybody's buying them for a reason. So
absolutely. Okay, so What else have we got to talk about in the news? Oh, Apple handing out bumpers. So they've been given out for free. Is that right? I don't have an iPhone 4, so I'm a bit out of the loop here.
It was it was because we were recording last Thursday and the announcement was last Friday. So technically we haven't covered it yet, but basically it's the last chapter for now of AntennaGate. They've decided that everyone can have a free case or and or bumper. No, not and bumper. Or bumper. And if people don't like that, they can send their iPhone back and get a refund. And then Jobs did the silly thing and said that every phone manufacturer has a similar problem with their phones, which got quite a lot of phone manufacturers quite angry in that sort of manufacturer global corporation way. So they all came out with press statements, which were jolly cross that Apple should suggest this. So RIM, Nokia, HTC, I don't think Sony did. I think they were quoted. But yeah, that's what happened. It was a bit of a sort of what we expected would happen actually from Jobs. Jobsy
lived up to his reputation.
Yeah,
he did a good job. Well, that seems like an odd deflection. Maybe that's just the fight or flight reflex, and
where
he's
he rolls.
Backed into a corner.
That's where he rolls.
I heard that someone within the conference said that they couldn't replicate it there and then on the BlackBerry, and Woody showed them where it is, and Jobs just replied, "No, you're doing it wrong. Watch the video." That was that. So I don't know. Good defense. I like it. You're doing it wrong.
I'm richer than you. Shut up.
You have to hit it with a hammer before the reception starts going down. Yeah,
you have to encase it in lead, and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
You'll see it drop to maybe 2 bars or one. I have an iPhone 4, and I bought a bumper for it on a news story that Pocket Gamer wrote about cheap bumpers that were on offer.
Yeah. How do you feel now? What happens to people who've already paid for a bumper? Do they get a refund on their bumper?
They do get a refund, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but only from Apple, right? Because otherwise it would get super confusing.
Yeah.
This was £2.50, so I'm going to let it slide this time.
I wouldn't. I'd chase it down.
Yeah, I'd chase it down.
It's quite a good bumper, actually. £2.50. I think Rob got one as well, our editor. But yeah, I couldn't replicate the problem anyway on this iPhone. So I don't know if they've made any changes. Or I actually read a mildly interesting article that said it was to do with frequencies and you couldn't replicate it in the UK because of the different GSM frequencies that we operate on.
That is very interesting.
I thought Rob could do it, though.
Rob
told me he could do it.
So I don't know I don't know how right that is, but it's out there.
But Rob said that he could replicate the signal bars going down, but he never lost a call or anything, did he? He didn't seem to lose actual signal. Right. I know that was Apple's defense, but I'm really interested in whether that is absolutely the case. I mean, it just seems in a product so thoroughly researched, such an odd mistake to make to get a sum wrong, you know, if that's all it was. But that's what leads me to think that there must be some physical issue as well. It can't just be that they're, you know, consistently incredible engineers put a minus where they should have put a plus sign when they were programming it. Not that that's just my conjecture. I don't think it was actually that simple. But yeah. iPhones, eh? Glad I can't get a 4. Can't wait to get my 5. My contract's up on the 3DS.
5? Yeah, right. Yep. That's going to go out of date in a year's time. I'm waiting for the 6. That's it for the news, though, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a huge amount of news. This is a bumper edition.
Well, it's not going to be once I've edited it.
Yeah, well, as long as it's a lot of stories. Just
my clocks is 52 minutes and we're not even at the room of mine. This is going to get slaughtered in the edit room. I'm going to be uncaring, harsh, horrible.
As long as you leave all the bits where Tracy says that I made a good point, I like those bits.
I can cut them all into one track and then add them whenever you say anything.
Oh, like a little baby. Oh, it's like R-Type. The podcast is R-Type, and then there's this extra little podcast of me being complimented, which is like the, you know, my little orb I put on my nose. No? Okay. Right. So that's the news. Let's go to the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
Tracy, what has the rumor miner been telling you?
Well, he's saying that things are a little bit slow right now. I think think people are kind of pooped out after E3 and WWDC, and kind of convention season is starting to slow down. But some minor stuff this week he had to share, starting with another Square Enix title. Last week he had mentioned Chaos Rings coming to iPad. This week it's about Final Fantasy Tactics. And Square Enix had announced that they were going to be porting this game over to iPhone and iPod Touch. It's been out for years. It was a original PlayStation game, and popped up on PSP, where we gave it a platinum, 10 out of 10. So it's a great game.
It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. And it's supposed to come out sometime this year. We don't know when. Rumor Miner doesn't have any idea. But he is saying, however, that he does know the price, that it's going to be $14.99 American. So that's what, let's see, it's probably about £8.99, which is pretty expensive. It'll be the most expensive game on the App Store, actually, more expensive than Chaos Rings. So, and the reasoning behind it is essentially that Square Enix wanted to test out a higher price point with Chaos Rings. It succeeded.
So they're going to push it higher.
Yeah, we're going to push it higher. No, I don't actually see this as being that bad. And here's why. You know, Final Fantasy Tactics launched as a $40 game on PlayStation. And it was a $40 game on PlayStation Portable, too. Now, this is not a quick hit game. I mean, this is a game that has like 80 hours of gameplay. So for it to be $15 American, I know that's going to be a real tough pill for some frugal gamers to swallow. But given how great Final Fantasy Tactics is, coupled with the amount of value you're getting, I it's a little bit of a stretch for me for anyone to complain about the price. Yes, it's a bit of an older game, but it's been remastered. I mean, so you're getting new content, and it's coming at less than 50% of the cost of the PSP version. So, you know, if this is true and it is going to come out at $15, I don't necessarily have that big of a problem with it. I don't have that big of an issue with it.
Right. Tracy, are there any more rumors?
Yes. You guys know Archetype, the online shooter that was released a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of taking on Eliminate.
Yeah, yeah.
It is getting... Now, it only shipped with a team deathmatch mode, and there's been talk of additional modes and weapons and maps and stuff coming. Well, Rumor Miner has word that it is getting a capture the flag mode.
Oh, that's good.
So that's supposed to happen.
I can't get excited about these online shooters on iPhone. But that is, I don't want to take the wind out of the sails.
That's amazing. Quite successfully now.
Yeah.
They're no longer moving.
Capture the flag.
Is it going to be new maps though, do you know? Like, or are they just going to try and adapt the existing maps to fit capture the flag?
I think they're just going to adapt the existing maps, which is fine because the maps, there's several there. And most of them are pretty good. There's a couple that I just really did not like.
Oh, is it going to be down paid for?
No.
Does the rumor know? Oh, okay. It's free. Free. Cool.
It's a free upgrade to make the game harder to play. Super.
So, yeah. Speaking of shooters, the last rumor, which is probably the biggest one this week, is that one of the granddaddies of all online shooters is looking to come to iPhone. Epic Games has been talking about doing iPhone development. And it looks like they are going to...
It is Unreal, isn't it? Back.
Unreal Tournament is coming to iPhone.
And Unreal Tournament?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's now, a good book.
Yeah, all the same issues may apply.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well.
But it makes sense to me, though. Because here's a franchise that is essentially, to be blunt, has died. You know, it doesn't have any sort of resonance anymore on PC. No one, it's Unreal Tournament 3 on consoles didn't do very well. But I think it could do well on iPhone. Because you have a lot of these shooters on iPhone, like Archetype and Eliminate, Nova, that are kind of feeding a hungry audience. But I think there's still space for someone to come in with an established genre like that and be like, no, this is how you do it. Kind of like you were writing in your R-Type preview, Will, when you're saying, look, there's been a lot of shooters, but R-Type, you know, .emu is kind of going in there and saying, yeah, this is how you do it, right? So I think if Epic can pull it off, and that's a debatable point, if they can pull it off, I think they could meet a need with Unreal.
There is a difference, though, between the two, because in R-Type's case, that's very much the design of the waves and the different weapons and how they work together and everything like that, which is fine. I mean, that translating that, as long as you get the controls correctly, translating that will resonate and will be good. The only problem with taking Unreal Tournament, which is true, it is one of the defining multiplayer online shooters of ever, along with Quake. If you put that into the iPhone, you've got to get the controls right, because Epic haven't really done anything on the iPhone, so right. I don't see how they're in a better position. Although the actual game itself is, I agree,
right.
It's like the template. Epic don't have the experience, and no one else has been able to actually properly recreate the controls to a such degree that would make that gameplay work in a similar fashion. That's why I'm
and
a little
also,
bit.
I thought you were going to make the point that the waves are set in R-Type, so you're experiencing a designed experience, but in Unreal Tournament, the waves are the minds of other players. You know, it's other human beings, unpredictable.
Well, my understanding from what the rumor might have said, this isn't going to be a port. This is like it will be called Unreal Tournament, but it's a new game. I mean, it's not going to pull maps. It's not going to essentially take any of the PC, you know, installments. It's not going to, you know, take Unreal Tournament 2004 and shove it on iPhone with modified controls. So I mean, there's some glimmer of hope in that, but I think you're absolutely right, Will, in saying, you know, like, one, nobody's really been able to nail the controls yet. All of the existing shooters have some sort of quirk about it, whether or not the auto fire is not really working or the camera controls suck or whatever. You know, Nova probably was the closest, and it's not perfect. So I think that's number one. Number two, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms about the variables, you know, the human element, you just can't control that. But I think probably the biggest thing that I would be concerned about, I mean, I think you have to accept the fact that the controls aren't going to be perfect and go forward with that. But the thing that worries me most is that Epic has never developed for a mobile platform, let alone a handheld. They've never even developed a handheld game, you know, and I look to their console stuff and their PC stuff, and I say, okay, you know, well, they've really nailed, they're very good at nailing gameplay. They're very good at getting the feel right and the action right, but they've been real crap. You know, you look at like Gears of War, for example, you look at it and it's great to play, but it's horrible to experience like as a complete package because the story and the characters are just atrocious.
And that's all being edited out.
Yeah, we can probably actually edit a lot of the epic stuff out.
Breaking news from a more established sort of mobile developer. Mirror's Edge is going to be out late summer. Well, I'm going to be trying to get a more exact date, but I don't think I'll be able to get it. So tell you. everything else from EA is basically summer.
I will go first and say I haven't been playing anything at all. It's really bad of me, I know. I have been playing lots of games, just nothing on my iPhone other than Drop 7. I think Drop 7 has been mentioned enough. So please, Will, after you.
I have been playing a number of games. I played Despicable Me, the Minion game.
Sorry.
What was that?
I said, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it wasn't terrible. It was just it had too many faults, and it kind of I haven't experienced quite so many rage-inducing annoyances for a game that I was very much enjoying quite large amounts of time, and then just being completely born into incandescent rage by the faults. Which includes a really basic bug, which I have no idea why they did not see that in Q&A, but never mind. So, I mean, it's a good game in there, but too much crap going on. Too poor controls are poor. It's just frustrating, unfortunately.
That's a glowing recommendation?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I gave it a 5, which is average. I mean, it's not a bad score. It's not a good score. Some people will enjoy it more than other people, but personally, I think the bad is equal to the good, which is unfortunate because the good is quite good. The other one I was playing was Rafter, which I completed and was number one in the world.
Wow. Thank you very much. In preview code before released?
This is after release.
Retail release.
I was the best player at Rafter HD in the entire world for at least a day.
That's what I was supposed to boast about.
What?
is that like... Not to belittle, you know, your attempt, but is that boastable? Is it boast-worthy?
Well, tell us about the game, and then we'll know. What did you have to do to achieve this?
I was number one.
Well,
I was number four on the ski ball for 2 days.
Oh, that's longer as well.
Yeah, but I was number two. I was number two for like 6 days. So.
But ski ball's actually quite good and popular.
Yeah, it's good. That's true. Rafter HD isn't good. Again, it's another 5. I gave 2 5s to iPad games this week because, again, like Despicable Me, it has some elements of it that are very good. There are certain puzzles in this game, which is it's a physics game. You draw objects and drop them down. You know what? I just realized I didn't actually describe Despicable
That's
Me.
That's why I was trying to gently... But,
don't worry. You could read the review. It's really good. It's really well done. Rafter HD, though, you draw objects, drop them down to hit a mine, or a red glowing thing. It's not very good because most of these puzzles can be solved by drawing a circle and dropping it. I mean, it's not really very hard where to drop the circle. That's why I was number one, because, like, you could just do it. Like, in a second, you can see, all right, circle there, done. And, like, you never need to really change the physics in the game that much. There's a couple of levels where it's really good and was actually quite tricky and where I had to work out things and think, right, okay, if I put something there, then I need to put something there. That was cool. And I was thinking, this is really good. I really hope this is the start when the level designers go, right, here's where the difficulty kicks in. And then you just go back to the standard drop the circle for another 20 levels, which was, it was disappointing. Again, another disappointing game, which I really wanted to like and just couldn't.
Cool. Cheers, Will. Alex, what have you been playing? You've been quiet. We need to.
I have been playing. What have I been playing? I'm looking at I've got a new iPhone. I've been playing. Can I talk about an app that isn't a game?
If that's what you've been playing with,
it
yeah, why not?
It's kind of what I've been playing, but you can't play it, you can only read it. It's an app called Sikipedia. I'm not sure if anyone else has heard of this app, but...
I've seen it's got a website.
It has got a website. It's now got an app. Right. From the App Store, no less. I don't know how Apple approved it. I have no idea. But there are some excellent jokes on there. I advise everyone to download the app, and if you are disgusted, then delete it, because it's not my fault. But just means you haven't got a good sense of humour. Here's a joke that was in it. This tramp asked me for 50p for a sandwich. I said, let's see the sandwich first. I could also tell.
Yeah, wow.
I'm going to tell that. Oh, all right, fine. Right. You're getting it now.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
Statistically, 9 out of 11 Americans won't get this. Can that stay in?
Is that allowed? You've just marginalised your audience as well, haven't you, there, by insulting one of them. Yeah. You got any jokes, jokes about people who listen to podcasts, maybe? That
yeah,
would be
okay.
Good.
Okay, let me... I'll tell a joke about girls, because no girls listen to this.
Oh, my God.
No? No? Well, that's a brilliant joke. Come on, that is funny.
It's a funny joke, but it's the only one that can't really stay in the podcast.
Sounds a bit sinister.
I don't think we can allude to...
That definitely can't stay. yeah, download the app. I just said I love the jokes, but they all probably won't be allowed into this podcast.
So that is true.
Still just download Sikipedia and look through the jokes, because some of them are excellent. On a game related front, I'll tell you what I've been playing. I've been playing the new Angry Birds update.
Which is
got a new bird in it and stuff.
Is it refreshed your love of it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
you
getting.
Went off
I'm bored of it. Yeah, I'm bored of it. But the new bird has made it too easy as well. It is basically like a nuclear bomb bird. It just takes out wood like nothing. Yeah. So Angry Birds. It's the update. It's okay, but there's too many birds now. They need to stop updating it. They need to just come out with Angry Birds 2. That is it for me.
Well, that's great.
Oh,
Tracy.
Football manager. Oh. Football manager. Sorry.
That's all right.
I just realised that I've played Football Manager, and it's not as good as Football Manager on the PC, which is pretty obvious, but that means that it's not really any good because, I don't know, you need more detail.
Super. Right. Are you sure that's all the games you've played? I don't want you to miss out. Yeah.
No, that's it. Sikipedia. Download it now.
I'm on it. Tracy, what have you been playing?
I've played a bunch of things. I'm playing Let's Golf 2 now, which I'm in the process of reviewing. It's really good. It's basically just. It's exactly what it is. It's Let's Golf 2. It's the same game, just fine-tune, enhance a little bit more. It looks damn nice. But I'm really liking it. So if you like Let's Golf, then you'll definitely like the sequel because it has online play and a bunch of new features. I also just reviewed Plunderland, which is a side-scrolling pirate game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of physics-based. So, you know, if there's stormy seas, you know, you kind of have to tilt your phone, your handset accordingly to make it over the waves. And it's really fun. It's as a game of the gameplay, you know, navigating your ship and firing cannons at British vessels and shaking down little islanders by, you know, scribbling on the screen is really fun. But it's not properly structured as a whole. And what I mean by that is there are unlockable ships and upgrades that you get through the course of 3 campaigns. And there's a maximum amount of gold that you can earn from each mission. But there's not enough gold to buy the upgrades if you get 100% of the gold in the missions. So, for example, in there's three campaigns, and if you get all of the gold, every single piece, which can be really difficult when you go through for the first time, if you get every single piece of gold in the first, in every mission of the first two campaigns, it's like 10,500 pieces of plunder. The upgrade to the first ship, to get the new, the first new ship, the Flying Dutchman, costs 10,000 gold. So you could get the one new ship and none of the upgrades, like, you know, the automatic treasure collector or the dual cannons or any of those. You could only get the one upgrade. So it essentially forces you to replay levels in order to get upgrades that, as you get deep further into the game, become sort of required. So it's a sort of a hidden repetition, and I'm just not a fan of that. I mean, I think any replay should be voluntary. You want to go back and replay a level because you're having fun, not because you have to. So that's really kind of the major thing that's wrong with the game. I'm playing this, it's this game called Meow Meow Happy Fight. It's not out yet. It comes out on August 5th. It's from the same team that did P.O. Blocks and P.O. Blocks 2. And it's this twin stick shooter. It's like a deathmatch twin stick shooter. And it's got this sort of tongue-in-cheek Japanese theme to it. And it's really fun. It's kind of hard, too, because you think, oh, twin stick shooter, like deathmatch, that wouldn't be that difficult. Like, it'd be kind of easy. It's actually really hard. And it's just really, you get put into these little environments, and it's all cell shaded, really blocky cell shading, much like in the same style of P.O. Blocks. And you just go at it with these other characters, and the characters are crazy. Like, you start off with a Japanese girl, and I think there's a little boy in there, but then you can unlock, you get points based on your standing at the end of a round. I think they last like 2 minutes. And you can unlock characters like a noodle cup is my favorite right now. And he has like super strong attack power, but he has very little speed. And then, one of the more powerful characters is a vending machine. And so you can go around as a vending machine, like, firing like, potato chip bags and things at other people. So it's really just, it's, I have to admit, when I was first emailed about it, I was like, oh, my God, this is so lame. Like, it's so predictably, you know, like, out there. Like, it's so far out there that you're like, it's not funny. But then I'm like sitting there and playing the game, and it's really well done. I like it. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. The only thing that I discovered, and this is an odd issue, is it's really performance heavy. And I didn't expect that from a game like this, because it's just a simple cell shaded like twin stick shooter. But I was playing on an iPhone 4, and my iPhone was getting really hot. So yeah, that's what I'm playing. Those are the three games I've been playing.
Sounds good. Surprising and good. Oh, that's a lot of good games. I'm glad everyone had so much to play. I'll definitely try and download something. Maybe one of your recommendations, although not Will's, because he gives everything 5 out of 10. I guess that's it. This has been quite a long podcast. I'm sure even after Will's gone at it with the cutting room scissors, it's still going to be quite long. So bye. Bye from me. Bye from Ben.
Bye from Alex.
Bye from Tracy.
Bye from Will.